when you start seeing that network effect, you start to realize that putting the patient at the center in this idea of interoperability, you start to realize that there's such an opportunity to provide true value for that member of that patient population.
Welcome to the Redox Podcast. I'm your host, Nico Skibaski, co-founder and president of Redox, where we are on a mission to make healthcare data useful and in turn enable the frictionless adoption of technology in healthcare. The Redox Podcast explores the intersection between healthcare and technology. How is tech making a difference? What are the barriers to adoption, and how are they being overcome? We talk to some of our industry's brightest minds, up-and-coming technologists, and health tech legends that have paved the way for what's to come. One thing is certain, healthcare will change dramatically over the coming years. My hope is that you'll leave these conversations with a bit more context, along with a jolt of optimism to continue working for a better healthcare. With that in mind, I welcome you to the Redox Podcast. Every day, 10,000 patients miss or delay necessary healthcare due to lack of proper transportation. The cost to the United States healthcare system last year due to missed medical appointments and unfilled prescriptions was a staggering $150 billion. But this problem goes way beyond dollars and cents. The far greater concern is the health of the millions of patients who aren't getting the care and medication they need simply because they don't have a ride. Fortunately, a group of caring and creative people band together in 2016 and designed a ride ordering solution that improves access to care. The company, of course, is Roundtrip Health, and I'm delighted to have Ankit Mathur, the company's co-founder and chief technology officer, join us on the Redox Podcast today. And in the interest of full disclosure, I'm pleased to say that Redox and Roundtrip announced a partnership earlier this year, which we'll talk about a little bit later. First off, Ankit, welcome to the Redox Podcast.
Great to be here, Nico. Thanks for having me.
I'd love to start out with just kind of the startup story. Like, where did the idea of Roundtrip come from?
It's really interesting. So I was introduced to Mark Switaj, who's our CEO and a co-founder of mine. Back in 2016, he was an EMT working on an ambulance, saving people's lives, and, you know, really saw firsthand how inefficient the healthcare system is, especially when it comes to getting basic access to healthcare for people all over the country. It's a really big problem. I think it really opened his eyes to how big and inefficient medical transportation and healthcare transportation is. You know, I was introduced to him, and he kind of told me the story of an idea he had to really revolutionize medical transportation. I got to be really honest with you, Nico. I don't think I truly even understood or appreciated how big this problem is. I've had a pretty big passion for healthcare in general, and I look at all the inefficiencies across our entire healthcare system, and I know there's so much to solve. But frankly, if you can't even get to your medical appointment or have proper access to it, then it's certainly a fundamental thing to improve on.
Nice. I love that coming from that clinical background. And a few episodes ago, we talked to Jonathan Bush, who of course was also an EMT and, you know, saw the perils of healthcare and was inspired to start his company. I'm wondering though, was the idea for Roundtrip back then what it is today? Or did you have some of the proverbial pivots along the way as you tried to figure out what the business model was and how you would actually deliver the product to customers and patients?
With any startup, you kind of have this idea, this fundamental vision of what your organization is going to do and be like. And then you get started, you really start talking to your end users and patients and clinicians and healthcare executives, and you realize this problem is a little bit bigger than you thought. And so, like any good startup, you pivot and you look around you and you say, you know, maybe there's a better solution out there. So when we started the organization, we adopted principles from, you know, a lot of really great organizations like Google and a lot of other startups to really do user discovery, design sprints, design thinking methodologies, et cetera, to make sure that we didn't have or implement any of our own biases into the product that we were going to build.
I love the early days of a startup trying to figure out how to get from idea to something actually in the hands of a user and providing value in the world. How did you figure out the kind of 0 to 1 moments of getting this thing off the ground? Like, what was your first go to market? Who took a bet on you guys to actually try out the software and get in the world? Like, how did you solve it? Because you're a multi-sided network here, right? You have patients that you're working with, you have healthcare organizations that you're bringing patients to. You have payers who are paying for some of this. Like, how does this all fit together? And because that's a really complex go-to-market strategy. So I just want to dig in, like, how did that actually work?
So you're absolutely right. You know, when you first start out, you kind of figure you're going to take on the world, and then really hone in on the problem and where the problem exists. For us, we really wanted to focus on health systems, large health systems, healthcare organizations, and work with those people at the front lines of booking and ordering medical transportation and easing their burdens. So when we sat with care coordinators and social workers, these people that spend hours of their day on the phone, picking up, dialing every transportation company out there just to find the right transportation for a patient, you realize that there's a lot of inefficiency here. You know, you're spending, you have a master's degree in a lot of cases, and you're spending the majority of your time not caring for the patient, which is exactly why you got your master's degree and why you got into healthcare, but you're just coordinating transportation. And that's something that we believe we can do so much better and much faster. So we really worked very closely with health systems and healthcare organizations to interview these care coordinators and social workers and discharge nurses, understanding their workflow, and built a comprehensive solution that coordinates transportation. It was something that, you know, I think at the very beginning we thought, oh, we'll just, you know, we can focus on this certain type of population. We realized that patients come in all various sizes and shapes and backgrounds. So we built a platform that not just coordinates rides for any type of need, whether you need anything, you know, as simple as a ride share all the way to something as complex as an ambulance, but also supporting the payer structure that's out there. Medicaid rides are a massive part of this industry. Medicare is obviously growing in the healthcare space. Private insurance, there's still a role for medical transportation in the private insurance space as well. We wanted to create a comprehensive platform that solves the problem for everyone.
I think one of the most challenging aspects of innovating in healthcare is figuring out the payment landscape. You mentioned Medicare and Medicaid, and I imagine private payers are getting into this space too, but talk us through what that landscape looks like from your perspective. Are these payers actually paying for rides and getting people to and from the care delivery organizations?
They are. So in some cases, depending on the payer, and this is really where it gets so complicated, Medicaid does have a benefit, a covered benefit for medical transportation. The transportation that is coordinated there happens with what's called transportation brokers. So in order to coordinate transportation for Medicaid patients, they have to go through a broker. In some cases, these brokers can be really inefficient, and in other cases, they can work really well. So it's not as dependable sometimes for a healthcare organization to reliably say this person will always be there on time because of the complexities of the Medicaid system in general. So, you know, I think Medicaid is an area that is continuously improving. We work with health systems to navigate the complex payer system to make it easy for them to just order the transportation and allow round trip to manage all of those complexities.
Does round trip become a broker in this situation, or do you also work with brokers to try to find these rides?
In the traditional sense, you know, some people can look at us and call us a broker. We really view ourselves as an innovative tech platform that coordinates transportation. So we're certainly not a traditional broker. We're not going after these giant Medicaid contracts that are hundreds of millions of dollars in some cases to tackle Medicaid transportation. We're seeing the landscape change in areas that we may be able to see that we can potentially help create efficiencies in that space. I think that's a really big opportunity for us, but it's going to require some fundamental changes in Medicaid as well to help us bring those efficiencies into the market.
Cool. Back to the startup story. You know, you started in 2016. You did that customer discovery journey, listened to the care coordinators and social workers, and got the platform into the market. Fast forward to May 2019, you announced a $5.1 million Series A. A Series A means that you have some traction, that you were able to actually start solving the problem, and now it's time to pour some fuel on the fire and actually scale it. Talk to us about what were the milestones that you hit in order to accomplish raising that money, and where are you going now? What's the journey of the company looking like, and kind of catch us up on how that progress has been.
It's so funny that you say that, Nico, because I remember the very first days of when we first started Round Trip and we were whiteboarding out our solution and talking to these care coordinators. And then, you know, you kind of fast forward to 2019 and it's like, wow, like that was a long time ago. Yes, like that was a huge milestone for us. But, you know, I think some of the really key points of getting us there, signing our very first deal with MD Anderson Cancer Center and Nemours Children's Hospital, you know, I think were some of the first memories that I have of really making an impact directly in patients' lives, expanding to large health systems, working with Bon Secours Health Center and Geisinger Health Center to not just introduce rideshare to them to increase efficiencies there, but also really work on transporting patients of all types. There's so much that we've learned along the way. When we hit that Series A, there was just so much certainty that Roundtrip was going to, you know, truly solve medical transportation for health systems and health plans. And I think that's really what the market saw. And I think that's kind of some of the biggest milestones, I think, were really around not just launching with health systems. In April, I believe, of 2017, we signed a national partnership with Lyft. We were then able to introduce rideshare to our health systems. I think that was huge in the reduction of so much costs. We have realized that, you know, switching from taxis over to rideshare reduces costs of up to 45%. So, you know, we can reduce the amount of time it takes to book a ride from about 20 to 30 minutes all the way down to less than 90 seconds in a lot of cases. And then all of that goes back to reducing patient no-shows, you know, and in a lot of our clients, we reduce no-shows, patient no-shows by as much as 5 times what their current average is. You know, I think those types of statistics, as you start to really get into outcomes, pointed the market to say Roundtrip's got a pretty big solution, a lot of traction. And I think that's really where, how we were able to achieve that Series A.
Let's talk a little bit about your actual software platform and what the product does and how it works between healthcare organizations and insurance companies and transportation providers and Lyft. I think that's a really interesting partnership there because, you know, I bet a lot of listeners are thinking, like, why don't people just use Lyft? And, you know, it can get a lot more complicated that with reimbursements and with the types of rides needed. So talk about how the software works and maybe walk us through kind of a workflow so we can start to understand how all the different players interact with it.
You know, when we were creating the platform, I think one thing that was fundamental to us that we really wanted to make sure we were achieving is that we were meeting the care coordinator, the clinician, whoever is ordering that medical transportation, where they are. So where are they within the healthcare system, within the healthcare workflow, where with a click of a button, they already know the acuity level of that patient. And within a few clicks of the button, they're able to coordinate or order the right level of transportation for that patient.
The user you're talking about here is kind of, is a care coordinator at hospital, for instance?
Yep. So a care coordinator or care manager at a hospital would be one of the user personas that we have.
How do they get to the point of ordering a ride? Is it because that patient has called like the nurse triage line and has shared some information about what's going on? Is that typically how this process starts off?
Yeah, it can happen in several different ways. When setting up that medical appointment, there could be a line of questioning around, you know, are, do you have proper access to transportation, get to the medical appointment? Or a lot of times you'll see patients calling at the last minute saying, my ride fell through, I can't get to this appointment or this really important surgery. Or, you know, even in a discharge setting where you have somebody that, you know, may have come into the emergency department that then had to get admitted but doesn't have a ride back home. You know, there's so many different areas where transportation can touch a patient. You also talk about transfers for patients, getting them from one facility to another, maybe a SNF or, you know, or some other facility, rehab facility. That's another area where Roundtrip really plays in, where, you know, seamlessly we're able to, with a click of a button, get that ride ordered for that patient, get that patient where they need to be.
What one of these situations arises, and your user, the person at the healthcare organization who's trying to help the patient, actually opens up your system, and they're actually using your platform now to find a ride. So what does that experience look like? And take us through that journey.
We have two different versions of our application. We can talk about our partnership with Redox, which has really helped us here. But, you know, you can either be a standalone version or you can click a button directly within your EMR, which essentially launches Roundtrip. You're able to essentially say, you know, what time does this patient need to be picked up? Where's the pickup? Where's the drop off? You know, do they need What's the need of the patient? Are they able to get in and out of a vehicle with no issues? Are they going to need hand-to-hand or door-to-door or door-through-door transportation, which I know is maybe something new to your listeners, but, you know, it's something that we work with every single day, because not every patient that can walk is able to safely get in and out of a vehicle curb to curb. So, handling those types of nuances is what we do every day. If the patient is not able to walk, maybe they're in a wheelchair, maybe they need oxygen administered through the transport, or maybe they're bedbound and need an ambulance to transport them wherever they need to go. All of that can be entered right through our system, and we're able to really generate all the necessary paperwork that's needed in order to get that transport done. We work with hundreds of transportation companies all over the country in order to facilitate that transport and then make sure that that patient gets picked up and dropped off. Most importantly, we collect data throughout the entire process. And I think that the data that we're capturing is something that has never existed in the industry before. We're able to not only provide that data to health systems, but we're also able to provide it back to medical transportation companies to understand their own efficiencies, the efficiencies of the entire medical transportation network within a health system, back to the health system, so they understand where there may be additional needs.
And talk to us about that data. So you're talking about like number of rides, how long rides take, like average wait times, what sort of data and what sort of insights are the data providing?
When you think about how easy it is to order, rideshare through your phone and all of those data points that you're getting along the way. So, you know, exactly, when you've ordered the ride, you know, when that driver, has arrived, who that driver is, when you've gotten dropped off and when that ride has been completed.
So are you having the drivers actually use your app and it kind of tracks them just like Lyft would, right? And it just kind of shows where they're at and all that stuff. Is that how you're capturing this stuff?
So actually what we're doing is we're integrating directly with the software that these medical transportation companies are using to coordinate these rides. So if you think about it, you know, all of these medical transportation companies use what's called computer-aided dispatch software. And so, we work closely with almost all of these medical transportation software providers in order to integrate directly into their system.
Wow. Yeah. It's a whole world I hadn't thought about, especially coming from the integration side. Like, that's not an area Redox helps out with. So you guys have to figure out how to integrate with all of them on your own, basically, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we've done that. So the same level of real-time information that we can provide back to a health system for a rideshare ride, we can now provide that exact same information for a medical sedan, a wheelchair van, or an ambulance. And I think that's something that's completely revolutionary in the medical transportation space right now.
I keep going back to this, but I can't help but think, you know, you sign a contract with MD Anderson, you mentioned, right? So of course they're a huge cancer center in Houston, and of course there's going to be patients coming from all sorts of places around that large metropolitan area. How do you solve this? It's like a chicken or egg problem. In order to sign with the cancer center, you have to show them that you have all of the medical transport sort of people lined up, all of the different companies kind of on the platform. But in order to get the companies on the platform, you have to show them that you're going to have rides for them with people like MD Anderson or other, you know, big health systems in that region. So how do you simultaneously get both sides on on round trip? Or is it kind of you get one and then that allows you to have the leverage to get the other side?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, Nico, it's so interesting. We talk about this chicken and egg thing all the time. It's actually not as difficult as you would think. So, you know, when we sign a health system on to the Roundtrip platform, we have a dedicated transportation team of very, very talented industry leaders that go and really build a network of medical transportation companies. So, they are ready, willing, and able to help assist and coordinate or in actually, you know, conducting the transport for these patients. So it's a win-win on both sides. Not only are we able to provide so many efficiencies to the health system, but for all of these medical transportation companies in the area, they now have access to transports that they wouldn't have gotten otherwise. And it's because we provided a very kind of agnostic view to medical transportation. So if there's no contracts that are in place with the hospital right now, then with any medical transportation company, we're able to expand that market and drive costs down for that health system for medical transportation. But in the event that a health system has already signed a contract with a medical transportation company, we honor that, and we have a lot of features in our system that in our algorithm that allow for that ride to go directly to that provider.
So you can say to someone like MD Anderson, okay, you have contracts signed with these three medical transport companies, so we're going to favor those ones and honor your contracts with them, make sure that patients are utilizing those services. And then, you know, if you sign up Texas Children's across the street from MD Anderson, you can kind of honor their contracts separately, but still service the same region of patients who might be, you know, getting their primary care at Texas Children's, but their cancer care at MD Anderson.
That's exactly right. And we're currently working with the MD Anderson Cancer Center in Camden, New Jersey. But same thing. You know, no matter what it is, it really is. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. What a complex hairball you have to build in there.
Yeah, but you know, there are so many complexities to medical transportation, and frankly, that's why we built Round Trip, because imagine now you're a healthcare worker and you have to navigate through this yourself. It's a nightmare. You know, when we were touring campuses early on, we would see post-it notes of like five medical transportation companies that, you know, every social worker would call in order to book a ride. And it would just take so much of their day, and there would be so much back and forth. We really found a way to simplify and streamline that process.
So one of the big things that people are talking about in healthcare right now is how big tech is coming into the space. And, you know, a lot of the spotlight is on players like Google and Apple and Amazon and those guys. But I'm thinking about Uber and Lyft and these sorts of big tech companies. At HIMSS last year, for instance, our Redox booth was right across from the Lyft booth, and Lyft had their large, pink, bright, bold booth playing great music the whole time. So I was very happy to be across from them because they were just bumping some great jams. But people kept asking us, like, what the heck is Lyft doing? And we were like, I don't know. You guys have a partnership with Lyft, so you're helping to drive utilization of Lyft and ride sharing when it makes sense for your use cases. Can you give us other insight into what's going on there and how that partnership is working out? And are they partnering with many different groups or going directly to health systems, or is it really kind of through the Round Trip partnership that they're entering the healthcare space?
Yeah, you know, I think that when you look at big tech like Uber and Lyft and rideshare, you know, there's certainly a place for them in healthcare. But healthcare is a lot more complicated than, you know, someone like you or me ordering rideshare right through our app and being able to, you know, navigate through, you know, seven or eight different cars that are right in front of us to find the right one, to get in the right one, et cetera, et cetera. Healthcare is a lot more complicated than that. Not to mention healthcare campuses, health system campuses are complex to navigate. And so, we are able to work directly with Lyft and provide a HIPAA compliant platform that not just allows for the seamless ordering of rideshare, but also for the seamless ordering of any transportation. So instead of, you know, care managers switching between two or three different apps or two or three different software platforms to order rides, if it's a rideshare, you use this platform. If it's a wheelchair, you got to use this. And if it's an ambulance, you use this. We wanted to provide one simple place to book any type of ride for any type of patient. As I mentioned, there's a lot of complexities in healthcare. So You know, it's not just as simple as even clicking a button and ordering a ride. You know, there's a lot of messaging that needs to happen. So, you know, we've essentially overridden a lot of the messaging that that Lyft provides with, you know, healthcare specific messaging with more high touch frequencies to make sure that we're communicating properly to Lyft drivers, so they know that, you know, to wait a little bit longer for these patients, that we are communicating directly with the patient to make sure that they are actually getting into the vehicle and they're able to find the vehicle, and also communicating directly with healthcare professionals to make sure that they know that this ride's going to be here at this time. And so there's a lot more coordination that goes into it than just clicking a button. And that's really what we simplify for the health system.
You mentioned you communicate with the patient. So how are you doing that? Like through SMS, or are you having them use an app as well?
Yeah, we primarily just communicate with them through through text messaging and automatic voice calls. We also have, you know, we're able to toggle the language preference. So in the event that they speak Spanish or English or you know, another language, we can speak in their native language to communicate the status of their ride. And these are all things, again, that are so healthcare specific. And, you know, I think, you know, let rideshare be rideshare. You know, I think there's a really big place in there for rideshare to come in. And I think one thing we do really, really well is, you know, work with a health system and immediately work on creating efficiencies in their taxi voucher programs. Not just creating the reduced costs, as I mentioned before, but also the efficiencies in booking that ride and all of the data that you get back, which, you know, it primarily taxi vouchers are paper-based programs. Moving those electronically and providing efficiencies throughout the way, I think is something that we can provide an immediate benefit on to health systems. The icing on the cake is that we do the rest of it. So we do the wheelchair van transports and the ambulance transports as well. And oh, by the way, we also work with insurance to make sure that the patient doesn't have to pay for that ride if insurance can pay for it, or the health system isn't always responsible for that ride.
As the industry is shifting towards this value-based paradigm where, you know, they're looking at the whole patient and not just kind of the fee-for-service and what they're actually doing to the patient, do you think that movement is driving a lot of the adoption of these services that are really outside of the four walls of the hospital or clinics? And do you think that movement towards value-based care is driving adoption for Roundtrip?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, fundamentally, if somebody cannot get to their healthcare, there is no value-based care. There's no fee for service. There's nothing, right? Like if it's a fundamental barrier to care, I think almost every major health system in the country, one of their top five initiatives is almost always transportation. It's almost always removing that barrier to getting the patient to the care that they need. It frankly doesn't matter if it's value-based care or fee for service. That, you know, it's a fundamental need for healthcare, and I think that problem of getting patients to their medical appointments is not going to get any easier if we don't solve transportation.
And the way that I kind of see this relating more towards a value-based care paradigm is that if you can't get to your checkup or to, you know, more preventative care, those are the things that it's a lot easier for both health systems as well as patients to just slip through the cracks and be like, well, it's just, you know, it's just my checkup, or it's just, you know, my follow-up visit to the surgery I had 2 weeks ago, right? Whereas when things get acute, then, you know, there's always 911, which is obviously the most expensive way to transport a patient. You know, someone's passed out and you call 911. The preventative care that you're really enabling by making sure that transportation is there is allowing them to make sure that they don't have those high cost, you know, readmissions or acute situations because they can kind of get in for that preventative status. And, you know, I started thinking about this path because you mentioned Geisinger, which of course is a health system that has been kind of known for really looking outside of the box and saying, you know, what is affecting a patient's health far beyond what we're doing within the health system. So, you know, they prescribe healthy food to eat, for instance, instead of medications or in addition to medications. So I was just thinking, you know, like them being an early adopter of this service kind of is exemplary towards, you know, the social determinants that really affect patients more than, you know, more than people had given a credit to in the value base, I mean, in the fee-for-service world.
You know, it's really interesting. So, you know, you bring up Geisinger, they're a world-class institution, and they're also rural. They're in a rural setting. And, you know, I think, you know, you mentioned it earlier, you know, in the intro, you know, 3.6 million people miss appointments because of a transportation barrier every year. And that results in about $150 billion cost to the healthcare system every single year. I mean, these are massive numbers. When you talk about the rural setting, right, like our country is large, it's massive. And so, you know, 77% of rural counties are considered rural primary care deserts. 9% of them have no physicians at all. So, you know, you think about that type of setting. 163 of these rural hospitals have closed, and you know, you're starting to see a lot of this consolidation happening in the healthcare system. Geisinger is sitting right in the middle of Pennsylvania, really, really large state. The national no-show rate of our patient no-shows is around 18 to 20%. We're able to bring that down to, you know, to less than 4%. And I think by coordinating transportation, just making sure that patients are able to get to their medical appointments, you know, those are the types of things that we can solve, not just in an urban setting like a New York City or Washington, D.C. or San Francisco, but in rural settings as well, like Danville, Pennsylvania. And I think that it's those types of settings, I think, where your model really gets tested out as an organization. And you know, I'm proud to call Geisinger a client and a partner of ours.
It makes me think about, you know, the health insurance markets in a lot of rural markets started seeing payers pull out of those markets because of the high cost of trying to figure out how to deliver care for patients who are in these primary care deserts, because it's so costly to figure out how to get, you know, preventative care and wellness for those sorts of patients. And so we saw the exchanges starting to really get down to one or two payers within a given rural region because of some of these costs. And so I really didn't think about how transportation can actually help to fix that market and bring more options and hopefully bring more competition and lower costs for those types of patients who are, you know, living in rural America.
Yeah, you know, the healthcare system, especially in the health plan space, is really interesting. If you think about the health plans, at the end of the day, they're the ones that are responsible for you know, the reimbursement process, right? At the end of the day, I think you're seeing a lot of health plans that are doing the math saying, you know, if this patient does not make it to their surgery or to their medical appointment, there's an increased risk that this patient may end up in the emergency department. And that's going to cost us as a health plan 100 times more than it would cost if you were to just, you know, get the patient where they needed to be at the time they needed to get there. So what we work really closely with health plans on is offering transportation as a benefit. So we've created an entire benefits management platform that allows for these health plans to essentially just manage their entire member population directly through our portal and book rides and create, you know, a structure around what the benefit looks like for that member, for that program, and offer transportation just as, you know, you would offer any other benefit from the health plan.
Now introducing another set of customers and users to your already complex business model. I don't envy the amount of kind of workflows and users you have to, you know, make happy with with your platform. From a technology and product perspective, I imagine that's a head scratcher sometimes. Going back to kind of network growth, because it's something that I obsess over a little bit at Redox, I always think about tipping points. And, you know, within a network, once you get to a certain threshold, there's often a tipping point. And the way that Airbnb talked about it was if they could get 300 listings in a city, that was kind of the tipping point that made that city sustainable and growing on the network. And so they worked really hard to get that tipping point. Do you see tipping points like that in your market where, you know, if you can get a big, you know, regional player within a geographic region, does that offer kind of a virality or a way for you to go out and get the others? Because, you know, now you got the medical transport companies. And so it kind of builds this, you know, almost flywheel that builds upon itself within a network. Or is your go-to-market really different than that and more about just getting individual contracts with health systems?
Yeah, I think it is. It's largely around the network effect. I think we obviously can go into any major health system and start providing value. But, you know, you're absolutely right that, you know, if you put the patient at the center of the experience of, you know, instead of the health systems at the patient at the center, you realize that this patient can have a lot of different benefits. You know, we work with paratransit organizations as well to coordinate transportation for those people with disabilities in that area. So a really good example of that is working with GRTC, the Greater Richmond Transit Company here in Richmond, Virginia, which is where I'm sitting. And not only are we working with GRTC, which is the transit provider that also offers paratransit, we're also working with the other local counties in the area. So Chesterfield County and Hanover County as well, which are the surrounding counties in that area. We also coordinate transportation services with them, not just in their paratransit, but also for the Department of Social Services and those other programs that they offer. Now, that same person that we may be transporting maybe to work every single day or to the food bank every single day for social determinants also may need to be seen by one of the many health systems that we partner with right in the Central Virginia area. So when you start seeing that network effect, you start to realize that putting the patient at the center in this idea of interoperability between not just major health systems, but also health systems, clinics, and paratransit, and you know all of these other benefits that, and even a health plan, you know, you start to realize that there's such an opportunity to provide true value for that member, that patient population.
That's awesome. So it sounds like you have that region kind of locked down or really penetrated. How many markets would you say that you're in like that? And is that part of the growth strategy?
Yeah, I think we're in about 25 to 30 markets like that and continuing to grow. We've got a large network out in the Bay Area, thanks to our strategic partnership with Contra Costa Health System out there. You know, that's, you know, Contra Costa, for example, saw a 40% reduction in calls to care coordinators just to book medical transportation. So, you know, you think about, you know, introducing round trip there and then also working directly with the health system to, you know, we worked with them to, as part of their whole person care initiative to really not just, you know, reduce these phone calls for to care coordinators, but also reducing patient no-shows. And so, those types of partnerships, I think, in these large areas that allow us to provide even more value than just one health system.
It is 2020 now, new year, new decade. What's coming up for round trip?
Honestly, I think it's a lot of focusing on what we do today and do it even better than we're doing right now. So, you know, there's certainly those strategic partnerships that we have with large healthcare systems, as you mentioned before, creating these networks of areas where we can operate in, I think is going to be so important for us to continue success. Working with more and more health plans in the area to offer and manage, you know, transportation as a benefit for these members, I think will be critical to the success of round trip. And, you know, continuing to expand the horizon there. I think there's a lot of patients that we can impact, a lot of healthcare organizations that we can impact. Through our partnerships, through our integrations, through, you know, our healthcare system partnerships, I think we will continue to grow and expand.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Let the users know where they can find you, you know, if they want to learn more about Roundtrip or reach out to you directly, if you're open to things like that, if you want to just rattle off ways that they can do that.
Absolutely. So obviously, please visit our website at roundtriphealth.com and, you know, contact us through there. We would love to talk to anybody that's interested in helping us solve this problem. I think it's a big problem to solve, and I think one that you know, we're proud to partner with you guys at Redox to help deliver a seamless way for us to offer our services to our partners, and want to continue to make sure that we can do that to every health system and health plan in the country.
Well, thank you so much, Ankit, for joining us, and I can't say enough how honored I feel to be in a position to help support companies like Roundtrip, because, you know, at Redox, we're a couple steps removed from actual patient care and the impact that applications like yours actually have. And so hearing stories like this are really, really inspiring and influence us to try to, you know, do better, to try to make sure that we can continue to make this possible, because it's really inspiring. And, you know, I know one day I might be using your services, because we're all patients, right? So really appreciate the work you're doing. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Hey everyone, it's Nico here again. I wanted to give another shout out to Ankit for joining us from Roundtrip Health. I'm so excited to follow their story in the years to come. With HIMSS just around the corner, next week we'll have a couple special episodes looking at what to expect from the world's largest health tech conference. I'll have some HIMSS veterans with me on the show, sharing their predictions and best tips and tricks to get the most out of the event. And of course, if you'll be there, I want to extend a warm welcome to our HIMSS kickoff party we're throwing with our friends at AWS and Point Click Care. It'll be a fun one. Also, come by our booth, say hi, hang out during the event. It's booth number 6443. And all of the Redox HIMSS details can be found on our website at redoxengine.com/HIMSS20. And finally, thank you so much for listening in. Please subscribe, and if you love it, leave us a review. It really helps to get the word out to others who might be interested in this content. So we'll be back again next week. Until then, thanks for listening in to the Redox Podcast.